I don't know that I've ever been called a commander before. I might learn to like that. I don't know. I sat at my desk and I began to think and pray and research to write yet another sermon. And I looked at the calendar, and the calendar said June 16, Father's Day. And I remember that on the second Sunday of May, I preached a sermon with the creative title, A Mother's Day Sermon. So I decided I should be fair. And today's sermon title is A Father's Day Sermon. A youngster was asked about Father's Day, and he said, "It's just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much on gifts." Amen. Yeah. I sometimes think that Father's Day is just an afterthought. For instance, did you know that my presidential proclamation, the first Mother's Day, was in 1917? The first Father's Day, however, was not until 1972. What's up with that? Here's one of the answers. After Mother's Day began, there were earlier attempts to establish Father's Day, but men disliked the idea, and they did not want to have a Father's Day. And here is what one historian wrote. Men scoffed at the holiday's sentimental attempts to domesticate manliness with flowers and gift-giving. Or they derided the proliferation of such holidays as a commercial gimmick to sell more products, often paid for by the father himself. Well, what are you going to do? We have moms and we have dads. We have good in both. And we have bad in both. We have those who adore their parents. And we have the other. We have those who love special days. And we have the other. Regardless of how you feel about fathers in general or your father in particular, remember this, that Jesus Christ himself should probably be given the credit for establishing the first Father's Day. He said in Matthew 6:6, "But when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father, who is unseen. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." That is radical. Because the Jews would talk about the fatherhood of God, but they would never think of being so intimate about the name and the title of God. And Jesus even followed that up by giving us the model prayer beginning, "Our Father." In fact, the oldest creed in Christendom begins with, "I believe in God, the Father." Here's a children's poem that really captures that thought. It says, "God loves me, and God loves you. Like a father, he protects us too. He knows what we need. He hears our prayer. We can talk to him anytime, anywhere. God is our Father who is never far. He is always right with us wherever we are." Amen. By the way, is God male or female? The answer is both and neither. God describes himself both ways in the Bible. For instance, in Isaiah 42, verse 13, it reads, "The Lord will march out like a mighty man, like a warrior. He will stir up his zeal. With a shout, he will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies." Hurrah! Is that what you say?
Hurrah!
Hurrah! Thank you. I never was a commander. But in the same book of Isaiah, in chapter 66, verse 14, God says, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. God is beyond gender. Guys, I think we should be beyond gender too, to the best of our abilities. God is our provider. Fathers are supposed to be providers for their families. God is our disciplinarian. Good fathers are supposed to be the same. God is our teacher. Fathers are to teach their children. God loves us unconditionally, and fathers are called to do the same. God is our comforter, and fathers are called to comfort their children in the same way mothers are. Now, for most of you men here, you probably think your fathering days are over. That's not true. Just as it is for women, your parenting days do not cease when your children leave home. In fact, sometimes that's when they really start. I see people shaking their heads. And just as for women, parenting a younger person who is not even related to you often happens. It's called reparenting. And some of you have experienced that. Guys, there may be more fathering days ahead of you than you even know about right now. That's in God's hands. Now, on Mother's Day, I used a biblical character by the name of Hannah to illustrate a godly woman. And on Father's Day, I decided to use the example of not just one, but of a number of men in the Bible. And yes, ladies, you can get just as much out of this as us gentlemen when you think about these men, these patriarchs. Now, of course, let's remember this. All of the human fathers and mothers in the Bible were sinners. None were perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect man. Recognizing that, let's look at these patriarchs and see what God might have to say to us through some of these lives. The first human being, the first father on earth was Adam. Who was his role model? God himself. Perfection itself was his role model. How did he do with that? Well, he messed it up big time, and he plunged us into sin. No matter how excellent is the example that you dads have set for your own children, they disobeyed you too. And they had to live with the consequences of that disobedience. And you may have asked yourself, what did I do wrong? I know a lot of mothers do that. So do a lot of dads. What did I do wrong? The answer is nothing and everything. Not only that, you disobey God yourself. And you also have to live with the consequences. And like Adam and Cain and Abel, you need a Savior. Let's switch to Noah. What about Noah? Noah was a man who resisted the wickedness that was going on in the world around him, and he remained faithful to God. That's a very good example for us. And what could be more relevant to us today? Because the wickedness in this world around us today is just getting worse and worse. The closer we get to the second coming of Jesus Christ, the more the devil attacks. Men and women, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's what the Bible promises. Resist the devil. Noah protected his family. People did not admire Noah for doing that. In fact, they made fun of him. They mocked him for protecting his family. Men, how many times Did you feel unappreciated, misunderstood, even as you labored in your life to do what you felt God was calling you to do, as did Noah? Remember Noah's example. And remember how long it took for Noah to receive his reward. Here's another one. When we think about notable fathers in the Bible, how could we not think of Father Abraham? God told Abraham to leave his home country and leave it all behind and take his family into a new reality. How scary was that? I'll bet some of you guys have had to do that in your life. Pick up your tent poles and move to another place and start all over. How scary was that? Abraham was considered the father of many nations. How scary was that? And he was tested beyond testing when God called upon him to sacrifice his son, his only son, Isaac. How scary was that? Yet Abraham is the leader of leaders when it comes to being an example of a man of obedience and faith. I feel sure that you have all faced scary situations in your own life, and you also have had to step out in obedience and faith. May God not lead you into testing, but if He does, may He grant you the obedience and faith of Father Abraham. Here's another one, Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, and his 12 sons founded the 12 tribes of Israel. And Jacob did what no parent is supposed to do. He had a favorite. His favorite was Joseph. That caused a lot of turmoil and jealousy in the family. It all worked out in the end, but you've read about it, you know about it. As a father, or as a mother, or as a brother, or a sister, you may have experienced turmoil and jealousy in your own family. Heaven forbid you may actually have been the cause of it yourself. After all, we read in the Bible that there is no one righteous, not even one. But thank God for Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. God did that for Jacob and for all of His 12 sons, including Joseph. God is good. What's the next line? All the time. God is good all the time. Fathers, not so much. But God is. Here's yet another example of an Old Testament father to consider. Moses. We don't often think about Moses as a father because his sons are not historically very memorable. But Moses served as the father of an entire nation as he led them out of bondage in Egypt through the Exodus to the Promised Land. And God worked miracles. Mighty miracles through Moses. Moses may seem like a larger-than-life figure, but Moses was just a man. God can work miracles through just a man. Even you guys. One of my favorite biblical fathers is David. And he was one of God's favorites too, I think. Not because he was good all the time. In fact, he was a rascal. But God blessed David, listen guys, with emotions. That's not often celebrated in a male. David expressed his emotions in poems, in songs, in dance, and in tears. Yes, men do cry. One of the most moving passages in all Scripture for me is when David wept bitterly when his son Absalom rebelled against him, became his enemy. But David loved him and continued to love him unconditionally, as a good father should. Let's move over to the New Testament and think about some fathers there. And the first one that comes to my mind is Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus Christ. We could write an entire Father's Day sermon on Joseph. I am just amazed at how Joseph endured the challenges that he faced protecting Mary and their baby and standing up for her. As Jesus grew up, Jesus was obviously well educated. That was Joseph's responsibility, to educate his son. It was his duty. He deserves credit for that. And Joseph also taught Jesus how to do something with his hands, to serve the world and to make a living in this world as a good father should. And I have no doubt that Jesus Christ loved and respected Joseph. Joseph was a man of quiet strength, of integrity and kindness. A good example, indeed. One more. There is a moving story in the book of Mark, chapter 5, of a father's love and his faith. It's an inspiring story. His name was Jairus. Jairus was a ruler in the synagogue, and that made him a very important man in the community, a respected and celebrated man. But a very tragic cloud hung over his life. His daughter was sick and was dying. And like all good fathers, Jairus wanted to fix it. That just seems to run in the veins of men. We just want to fix it. Can't some of you dads identify with that? But Jairus could not. And so he turned to Jesus. Mark 5, beginning in verse 22. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet, and he pleaded earnestly with him. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him, and you know how that turned out. I suspect that most, probably all of us here at one time or another, have been thrust into situations where all we could do was what Jairus did, and that is fall on your knees at the feet of Jesus Christ. Before your life is over here on earth, there may yet come a time for some of us that will be difficult and you can't fix it. Fall on your knees before Jesus Christ. That's what a humble father would do. And that's what a man of faith would do. That's what a believer in the great physician would do. Fall on your knees before Jesus Christ. Jairus was probably a proud man because of his position in the synagogue and in the community. Women, are any of you married to a proud man? Don't answer that question. But we read this in this passage. It says that Jairus pleaded earnestly with Jesus. He laid his pride aside and knelt before Jesus. A really good example indeed. And God said in Leviticus 26, beginning in verse 18, if you will not listen to me, I will punish you for your sins seven times over. I will break down your stubborn pride and make the sky above you like iron and the ground beneath you like bronze. He also said this in Proverbs 29, verse 23. A man's pride brings him low, but a man of lowly spirit gains honor. Jairus was a man of lowly spirit who humbled himself before the Lord, and he let his faith show outwardly. That is a great, great example for all of us. You may have heard this story before. A father and his little son went for a full day's fishing trip together. And when they came home that evening, the mother turned to the dad and said, "How did it go?" And he said, "It was absolutely miserable. It was the worst day of my life. First of all, we had trouble getting the boat ready. And then we finally got to the lake and I discovered that I didn't have enough gas and I had to go get gas. That made us late getting into the water and all the best fishing places were all taken up. And it was so hot, it was hot as heck and the mosquitoes were biting and I opened the tackle box and all the lines were tangled together. It was absolutely horrible. We did not even catch a single fish." At bedtime, she asked her son, "How did the day go?" And he said, "It was the best day of my life." He said, "We didn't catch anything, but I got to spend the day alone with my dad." And I started thinking about that, and I thought, you know what? Every Sunday, every Lord's Day, is Father's Day for our God. And spending time with him is the best thing you can do. So give him thanks. Give him thanks that he gives us illustrations from the patriarchs, but give him thanks, men and women, for being your provider, for being your comforter, for being your disciplinarian, for being your teacher, and especially for loving you with an undying love. Happy Father's Day, Lord. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for allowing us to call you Abba Father. And Lord, may we be faithful, loving children. In Jesus' powerful name, amen.